Okay, if you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of James. We are in James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. James 3, 13 to 18. And this is what he says. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Last 2 weeks we've been going through James chapter 3. We saw James wrote this epistle to the Jews who were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. Specifically, James wrote this epistle, this chapter, to those Jews who have been aspiring to become preachers of the Word of God. Those who felt the calling in their lives, those who want to be the teachers of the Word of God. As we said earlier, it's not only like teach at home or teach at work or different places, but it's specifically talking about those who want to preach in the church of God, in congregation. Those who have the pulpit ministry, the teaching ministry in the congregation of church. He's writing to them. First of all, he wrote about the danger which those who teach will face, stricter judgment. Then he went on to speak about the tongue, to say that the tongue can be dangerous if we don't control it. The danger can divide, the tongue can divide. The tongue can condemn people. The tongue can hurt people. The tongue is a dangerous member of our body. And then last week we saw what we are used, we should be using our tongue for. It's to be used to bless the Lord. We saw what to bless the Lord meant is to kneel, to adore, to be grateful to God for His pardon, for His justification, and for His compassion to us. So we are to use our tongue to bless the Lord, not to curse God and the people He has created in His own image. And today we come to verse 13 to 18. And the title of this message is The Contrasting Wisdoms. Heavenly wisdom versus demonic wisdom. Heavenly wisdom versus demonic wisdom. James begins with this portion of scripture by asking a question to his those people he wrote to his audience. First of all, he asked them this question, saying, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you?" By listening, by reading this, we can see that there have been some difficulties in the church, some strife in the church of God there. There were men who were elevating themselves, wanting to be teachers, wanting to be leaders, wanting to be those to be listened to in the congregation. And James is asking them this question, who is wise and understanding among you? First of all, we can define what understanding means here. When he says understanding, it means who has the sense of who is skillful among you. Who is skillful? Who has the skills of wisdom? Who is an expert in wisdom among you? Who thinks knows all these things among you? So again, he's asking this question to those who thought they had the calling. Those who have been wise to preach the word of God. He's asking them this question. Who is an expert in understanding among you? As we can see here by this question, James is not impressed by what people think about themselves. He's not interested about what you may be thinking about yourself or what you want people to say about yourself. He's asking them this question. This is not a new question. In James 2:18, we see James asking this question by saying to them who were boasting that they have faith. He asked them this question, saying, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Here he's saying, "You say that you have wisdom. Well, show me by your walk. Show me by your behavior. If you say that you are wise, if you say that you have understanding, if you say that you are an expert, show me it by your behavior, by the way you are behaving." It's not about talking, it's about doing. So your way of living should show if you are wise or not. Show me your wisdom. And he says here, if you are wise and having understanding, show it by good conduct, that your works are done in the meekness of wisdom, as the second part of verse 13 says. Show that your conduct is done by the work, and your works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So the biblical wisdom is always moral and a good spiritual compassion to it. The godly wisdom always affects the moral part of our lives and also the spiritual part of our lives. It's not just a task that I am wise, I have wisdom. No, it is to impact our lives, as James says here. But before we go further, let us define wisdom. What is wisdom? Yes, I've been checking dictionaries, and wisdom is defined as the ability to discern or judge what is true, what is right, what is lasting, to have an insight. Wisdom is defined as common sense and a good judgment. The wealth of wisdom is priceless. The essence of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and the reward of wisdom is eternal life. So biblical wisdom is a skill to live in a way that pleases God and blesses you, and also is to bless others as well. So biblical wisdom is not only for yourself, it's not only by you talking it, it's to bless God and to bless others and to bless yourself as well. So this wisdom is not measured by the degrees we have, not by age, not by families we come from, not by our status in a society. This biblical wisdom is different, is shown by the way we live our lives, by the deeds of our lives. You can talk to me from morning to evening about how wise you are, but your life has to reflect those things as well. So don't think that you go to university to become wise. Don't think that you because you are old, you are wise. No, it's not what he's talking about. Show your wisdom by the way you live your life. That's what James is asking and is telling to these people. So this is not having just head knowledge or just math knowledge. Talking about wisdom is about showing it in action. James is telling this. So, biblical wisdom is about seeing things in heaven's perspective and act in a way which reflects that you don't only see things here, you see things in heavenly perspective. So, by doing that, you're showing that there's a desire to live according to biblical wisdom. James is saying that there is a difference between these wisdoms. There are different kind of wisdoms. All wisdoms are not the same. In scripture here, in the portion of scripture, James shows us that there are two kinds of wisdoms. There is wisdom which is from above and wisdom which is from the world. There is wisdom from above, which comes from God, and wisdom which comes from this world. And he doesn't leave us just that way. James defines, gives us the clues about how we can differentiate these wisdoms. He doesn't want to leave us in confusion, that he wants to define these two kinds of wisdoms. They are contrasting in many ways. They are not the same wisdom. First of all, James demonstrates that these wisdoms differ from their source, origin. The origin of these wisdoms are different. First of all, James goes on to explain this wisdom from the world, which does not come from above. He tells us about the source of it. He says that this wisdom from the world, it is earthly. It is earthly. Secondly, it is sensual. It is carnal. It is unspiritual. Thirdly, he says that this wisdom is demonic. It comes from the devil. It is demonic. First of all, what is earthly? What does James say and mean when he says that there is earthly wisdom? The wisdom which does not come from above, which has its source from this world. He says that it is earthly. It is the wisdom which is limited to this world we live in, this material world we live in. It does not look behind this world. This is the world which is just for now, here and now, which is acquired by the people of this world. And it is sin. The wisdom which does not go beyond. It doesn't have any perspective about eternal things. He calls it is earthly wisdom. No eternal thought or perspective. It is success here and now. Nothing else matters. Paul talks about this wisdom in Philippians 3:18-19. Philippians 3:18-19. Paul talks about this wisdom. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those end, and whose end is destruction, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is in the shame, who set their mind on earthly things." He talks about this wisdom which people can acquire, which is only from the earth. It has nothing to do with God, it's just earthly wisdom. The second source of this wisdom, James tells us that it is natural, it is unspiritual, sensual, it is of the flesh. It is of the flesh. Jude in verse 10 describes this wisdom and those who possess it, those who live by it. He says here in verse 10, he says that by these, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. So James is saying the same thing, that this is the wisdom of the flesh. It is sensual, it is natural, it's just for the flesh, for human satisfaction. There's nothing to do with eternal lives. This wisdom is an inclination to the flesh. There is no desire for any spiritual things. It is spiritual. And the third source of this worldly wisdom, James tells us that it is demonic. It is from the devil. It is satanic. It comes from Satan and his angels. It is from the devil. James is not messing about here. He said that there are people who possess wisdom which is coming from Satan. Satan is the one who is in control of this wisdom. It comes from the devil. Remember, Satan, the first temptation which came when Satan went in Genesis, 3:6, when Satan went to Eve and told her he was going to give her wisdom. Which wisdom he gave her? He said that you're going to be like God. And when Eve bought that lie, what happened was she fell into sin. This is the same kind of wisdom James is talking about here, which comes from the devil. And this is not a new thing. You remember also in Matthew 16, when Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to suffer many things, he was going to die. In Matthew 16, verse 21, we see this devil or demonic wisdom being portrayed here. This is what he says. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of things of God, but the things of men." You see, Jesus is telling Peter here that your wisdom is not from above. Your wisdom is from the devil. The wisdom you're trying to portray here doesn't come from my Father in heaven. It comes from the angel of light, the devil who controls you. This teaches us that even in good intentions, sometimes we can be portraying demonic wisdom. Sometimes you think that this is the best idea, this is the best deal, this is the best thing, but by doing that, you may be portraying demonic wisdom here. So James shows us here that this kind of wisdom is not good wisdom. The source of it can be earthly, it can be natural from the flesh, or it can be demonic. We have to be careful of this kind of wisdom. And James, as you know, he doesn't advocate any kind of a half wisdom. Hybrid wisdom that can be half. You know, when James talks about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not giving us opportunity to have half mixture. No, James is clear. James is a heavy puncher. He punches really hard. He goes directly to the heart. This series, we are doing it. Why? Because we want to see the saving faith, the character of saving faith. He goes even to talk about the wisdom which comes from God. When James talks about to be a Christian, he doesn't give the room for you to interpret. Either you are Christian or you are not a Christian. You are religious. Your religion is a God's religion or it is human's religion. About faith, James says the same thing. And here, again, about the wisdom, he says the same thing. James is not lagom. James doesn't have any yanta lag that you can't... No, James is saying as it is. Remember who James is the... he is the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. He is the... he and Jude are the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have any lagomness in them. They don't have yanta lag. They say that it's either true or it is fake. So, now, which wisdom do you want to live for? Which one? Which kind of wisdom do you want to possess? The earthly wisdom, natural wisdom, or demonic wisdom? That's the question James is asking here. First of all, he shows us the source or the where this wisdom comes from. The second part, James tells us that there is two kinds of wisdoms. They differ in many ways. They differ in the source, and secondly, he says that they differ in the character or attributes. The wisdom from God and wisdom from this world differ in the character. They are not the same. He goes on first to characterize this earthly wisdom, the wisdom which does not come from above. He says that it is characterized by envy, jealousy, and self-ambition. This wisdom's attribute are competitiveness. This is a wisdom which is characterized by rivalry. Rivalry. People who have this kind of wisdom, they rival, they compete, they are jealous people. They are self-centered. They're all about themselves. They promote themselves. They manipulate to get their own ways. So they are doing as the devil has been. This word bitter is used earlier when James talks about two fountains of water or a fountain of water. James said that in one fountain of water you can't find sweeter water and salty water. Good water and bad water can't be found in one fountain. James says that the same way he says here, that in wisdom of this world you find rivalry, you find jealousy, you find all the bad things, self-promotion, self-centeredness. Will you find any kind of bad things in this kind of wisdom? And James says that if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a child of God, but your life is full of jealousy, you are so think only about themselves. You are a person who can't deal with people. You are the kind of person who's always arrogant, who promotes yourself, who fights with everyone. Your opinion is the last opinion. You might take a time to reflect your own life, saying that maybe you are not a child of God. If everything is about it's me, everything you want to do. You want everyone to praise you. You want everyone to give you attention. You want the light of everything to be around you. James is saying that you must ask yourself the question if there is that wisdom is from God. And it may be that God is even revealing that the wisdom you have is not from God. If the only thing you think, it's you. If you don't get what you want, you are not at peace. You become like a bull. You want to kick everyone who's in front of you. That's not the character of the wisdom which comes from God. It's either you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the giver of wisdom, or you have the wisdom, but you are just living in disobedience. You have not learned to kill members of your bodies. You have not learned to be humble. You have not learned to be submissive. You have not learned to accept what the wisdom of God tells you. As we see here, those who are aspiring to become teachers of the Word of God, from what we see, we can see clearly that they were not doing it. Some of them were not doing it with a good heart. They were not doing it because of the wisdom from God. They were doing it because they want to promote themselves. They want to be elevated. They were arrogant. They wanted their words to be heard. That's not the way it is in the Church of God. We are to learn not to be driven by the wisdom of this world. We are to learn that our so-called wisdom should not be filled with jealousy, should not be filled with any boasting, any arrogance, or any self-centeredness, or any self-promotion. Our wisdom should be different to the one James is telling here. So now, in contrast to wisdom of this world, which is characterized by jealousy, James is talking about the wisdom which comes from above. Wisdom from God, which is characterized by humility. In verse 13, he talks about this wisdom, which is characterized by humility, gentleness, and meekness. Wisdom from above versus wisdom from below. Jealousy, rivalry, pride versus humility, gentleness, and meekness. We all know we have lived some lives. We know that sometimes in our lives, when we have made decisions and they've caused some troubles, some caused difficulties, if we think in God's perspective, we can see that there we have failed because we didn't use God's wisdom. We used the wisdom of this world. And what we have to do, we have to learn that there I used my earthly wisdom, I used my flesh wisdom, and things didn't go well. We have to learn to use the wisdom of God. This wisdom, which is marked by humility, gentleness, and meekness. Scriptures is full of examples about this wisdom which comes from God. Let us turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and this is what he says. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus that they should show the wisdom, that they have wisdom, They have the character which reflects the wisdom from God. They should strive for peace, for unity, for joy. They should show that they are humble, they are meek, they are peaceful people. And whatever they do it for peace of God, especially in the church of God. And Paul goes on in the book of Colossians 3:12-13. Colossians 3:12-13. Paul writes again and says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you so also must do. James, Paul is saying in the same line as James did write to his audience here. He says that as believers, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, we are to be humble. We are to be gentle. We are to be meek. That means to be teachable. We are not to be people who are marked by self-centeredness. Like it's all about me. You are jealous about anyone who does well. You are jealous of anyone who does well or anyone who's acknowledged that they are doing well. If anything doesn't go your way, that's it. It's better collapse than me be the loser. We've seen it in this church. We've seen people who come with ideas or who come with their own imagination. They can be for a while here, they calm, they quiet. They reflect their character. Oh, they are born again, they are good. Once they get confidence of people around, they show the true character. They show that their wisdom is not from God. And when things go against them, you see that their mission is that everything will collapse. The church will collapse. It's better that it collapses than me not getting what I want to do. We've seen it time after time. Wisdom from God is not that way. Wisdom from God, we strive for unity. We are not jealous people. We are not competing with one another. There is no way that I am here to promote myself and to put others down. No, the wisdom from God is totally different. We are to be meek, humble, and we are to be gentle, as the word of God tells us here. Many times we think that to be meek is to be weak. People think that if you say that you are meek, then you are meek. No, that's not what it is. To be meek, it means to be powerful, but under control. You are as you are. You are powerful. You are strong. You are as you are. You are not weak, but you are under control. To be gentle does not mean to be somebody who is so weak and fragile. We are not fragile when we are gentle. To be weak or humble does not make you weak or useless. As God's people, we have to know that. It makes you useful to your master. It makes you useful to your master. Think of a horse, powerful, strong, good-looking, beautiful as it is. By it being obedient, by it being submissive, it doesn't make it to be useless or powerless or ugly. It makes it more useful to its master. Because the master can say to his horse, now we go to this place. There's no striving. This horse becomes so close to its master's heart because it is obedient, it is meek. So we as Christians, we have to show the wisdom from God, which is covered in humility, gentleness, and meekness. Jesus, talking about being meek, being soft, he says in Matthew 11, verse 29. Matthew 11, 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus, the wisdom from God, says, "Take my yoke and learn from me." That is wisdom from above. He tells you, "Take my yoke and learn from me. Learn from me." If you are a child of God, if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to learn from your master. You have to learn from master. He wants you to learn from him. And he says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." He describes himself. Jesus said that, "I am so arrogant. I am so up there. I am the best. I have everything." He said that, "I am gentle and I am lowly in heart." That is wisdom of God in action. He shows it about himself. He admits. And then he goes on to say, "You will find rest for my soul and for your soul." That is the wisdom's reward. When we are following God, when we learn from the Lord Jesus Christ, we find reward, we find wisdom, we find peace in our lives. We are not people who are agitated all the time. Small things move us, and when we see things, we become suspicious of everyone, everything. We want to listen to every secret talks. If a group is standing here talking, we want to hear. We become so agitated. We become so uncertain of ourselves. Wisdom from God is covered in gentleness, meekness. It's the contrary of the wisdom of this world, which is about jealousy, self-promotion, arrogance, self-centeredness. We are to be different, people of God. Jesus is the one who rewards us. He wants us to learn from him, and he rewards us if we follow him. He is the wisdom of God himself. Our Lord is the wisdom from God. He says he is meek and humble. Godly wisdom always begins with the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way that perverse mouth are hate, as Solomon writes some books. If you are a wise person, as it was for those people who wanted to become teachers, who want to be leaders in the church, who want to have a pulpit ministry, if you are a wise person, James said that you are to be humble before God. You are to be humble before God. And then you show that you are the person who knows what it is to be saved by the grace of God. You didn't deserve to be saved. If you know that you've been saved by God, you can never be harsh to other people. You can't be harsh to other people. You can't be there just bullying everyone. You can't be there forcing your ways so that you are the first person to be heard. You can't be just only thinking about yourself. You will know all the time that you are a sinner saved by the grace of God. Wisdom from above is humble, is gentle. If you are a child of God, there should not be any bitter rivalry in you. There should not be any jealousy, any arrogance, self-centeredness in your lives. This is James, what James is telling these people here. And he's telling this to us today. We are to know, we are to examine, first of all, the source of our wisdom, the characteristic of this wisdom. And in verse 17, James is giving us 8 words by which wisdom from God, by which this humility is covered in. He says that, first of all, this humility is pure. The wisdom from God is pure. Purity. It reflects the source of it. Our God, who has given us wisdom, is holy. God is pure. In Him, there's no any contamination. So if we think that we have wisdom from God, we are children of God, we are wise enough, we have understanding, we have to be pure. Our wisdom, our way of living, our humility must be pure, as our God is. It's not we show it to catch people, to trick people. We show that I am kind, I am good. Once people come to you and they show confidence in you, you show who you are. It's not that kind of wisdom. Wisdom which is pure. The second word James uses here is peaceful. Peace. It's not that there is peace when I get my way, when I get what I want. As long as I don't get what I want, there's no peace. Peaceful all the time. Peaceful all the time. It is gentle. The third word James uses. Gentle. It's kind. Gentle to everyone. Willing to yield. That's the fourth word. Yielding to yield. It is submissive. It is humble. The wisdom from God is submissive, is humble. I know people who boast many times in degrees, who boast in riches, who boast in the beauty, who boast in the height, who boast in the house, who boast in things of this world. It reflects where the wisdom comes from. We are to boast in the Lord who is the giver of wisdom. James goes on to say that the wisdom from God is full of mercy, full of compassion, full of compassion, is full of good fruits, as he says here. Full of good fruits in dry time and good times. There must be fruit in our wisdom. He goes on to say, it's not partial. It's not that I show the wisdom to gain things from the one I like. No, it's the wisdom which is not partial, which is impartial. No favoritism. He goes on to say that it is not, there is no hypocrisy in the wisdom which is from God. It's not a wisdom which you reflect, you are a different kind of person, but you reflect other characters to others. No, it is the same, it's genuine wisdom. You are same to yourself when you are on your own or when we are people. If things are going your way or even things, when things are not going your way, you are the same. You are not a hypocrite, because wisdom from God is not hypocrite. This two wisdoms differ in the source or where they come from, and secondly, in the characters. We saw the character of wisdom from God and the character from wisdom of the devil. And now, thirdly, James is making sure we understand. These two wisdom differ in the results. In verse 16, they have two different results. It says here, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Basically, James is saying that wherever there is worldly wisdom, there is chaos, there is disorder, there is confusion. That's what he says. He's warning these aspiring guys who want to be preachers. He's telling us, you and I, who are children of God, that if you are always relying on earthly wisdom, worldly wisdom, the end of result is confusion, is chaos, is infighting, there's jealousy, there is rivalry, there's self-centeredness. And when you see that, directly you can see that there's no God into it. There's no God. Our God is God of order. The Bible tells us. He's not God of disorder. God is God of peace. So, worldly wisdom results in confusion, and God is not there. God is not where there is jealousy, where there is confusion, where there is backbiting, gossip, slandering, competition, rivalry. People who live by that kind of wisdom, they show themselves not to be people with the Spirit of God. On the contrary, James goes on to say about the wisdom which comes from above. He says that it harvests, and its result is harvest of righteousness. Harvest of righteousness. As God's people, we are to be showing that our lives, the wisdom we have, the wisdom which directs us, is wisdom from God. We can't be characterized by jealousy, backbiting, confusion, chaos. We are to be characterized by purity, holiness, gentleness, humility, mercy, honesty, and impartiality as children of God. There's big contrast there. There's big contrast there. And you can't confuse them. What wisdom do you have? Reflect your own life. What drives you today? What drives you in your own life? Decision you make. What makes your blood boil? Is it found in humility, meekness, gentleness, or is it found in rivalry, jealousy, self-centeredness, self-whatever it can be, promotion? That's the big question we can ask ourselves. Verse 18, James says here that now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The harvest of wisdom from God is a harvest in righteousness. And now the question comes, what is this word we use all the time in Church of God? We talk about this word always. Say that I am a child of God, I have been redeemed, I've been justified, I am a righteous person. What does it mean? To be righteousness means a life which is lived in conformity to God's word and God's will. A life which is lived in conformity with God's word and God's will. If you say that I am a person who is righteous, it means that your life is lived by conformity of God's will and God's word. And that can only be attained or achieved if we have the wisdom from God. The wisdom which is humble. When we want to learn from our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 21:21 says, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor. He who finds righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor. And then Proverbs 2:10-13 says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who live the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Wisdom will lead you in the way of godliness and keep you the path which is good. And that's wisdom from God, not wisdom from this world. As God's people, whatever drives you, if you claim to be a wise person, if you claim to have wisdom, let it be wisdom from God. Let us be people who are driven by the character of our God. We have to be humble. We have to show that these are people who understand what it is to be born again. The people who know that God is the giver of wisdom. And that wisdom is different from wisdom of this world. It comes from God. It's clothed in gentleness, meekness, and the result is totally different, is righteousness. Wisdom of this world comes from the flesh, comes from the world, comes from the devil. Its character is jealousy, its arrogance, its self-centeredness, and its result is chaos, its confusion, and it doesn't honor God. As children of God, you must know which wisdom drives you. You must know which wisdom people of this world will want to identify you with. In closing, Solomon writes in Proverbs 9:12. He says, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. Ultimately, Solomon says that if you are the winner is you. If you have wisdom from God, you are the winner. And if you have wisdom from this world, you are the loser. And he puts it to yourself. The ultimate winner is yourself. The ultimate loser is yourself. Now the question comes again. Which wisdom will you choose? From above or wisdom from this world? Don't think that I wait until when I'm 60. If you've lived enough, you've met some 60 years old who are like children. They do things which you did when you were 18. As a young man, I spend time where I was maybe 20. I spend time with a person who was 40. He was worse than I was when I was 40. 20. He went to be 18. I would tell you. So don't wait until you are 60, you are 50, you are 40. James tells us in James 1:5 that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Don't wait until you are 40 or 60 or 30 or 20. Ask for wisdom from the Lord now. Ask wisdom for wisdom from the Lord now. Again, this question: who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. That's the challenge you and I will leave this place with. Which wisdom are you living by? Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, you are speaking to your people. Lord, in your word there is no confusion. In your word there is no way we can hide in error. Lord, we thank you for James, for the word the Holy Spirit put in his heart and in his hand to write, as he makes it clear about what is the saving faith. Lord, what is the character of the one who is saved? Lord, now he talks about the wisdom which comes from you, the wisdom of those who are saved and those who are living in disobedience and those who are not saved. God, it is clear. We want the wisdom which comes from you. And we pray, Father, that you may give us wisdom today. We may be humble. We may be weak. We may be gentle. Father, for those who boast, who live by the wisdom of this world, we pray that, Lord, they may see the chaos, they may see the confusion of their lives. They may see the uncertainty of their lives. Father, they might realize that the giver of wisdom, which is peaceful, which is full of good fruit, is you, the God of the Bible. They may turn to you in repentance. They may receive gift of salvation by, Lord, them repenting of their sins and trusting in you. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.